Gorgeous gaming, stunning streams, unbelievable bandwidth. Welcome to another Lifestyles of Gagillionaires. Meet the AT&T Fiber customers winning at life with hyper gig speeds. Say hello to the Walkers, a family of not one but four gagillionaires, each living up their gagillionaire life at ludicrous internet speed. First up, Anna Walker. She dominates streaming like the matriarch she is. No show ever goes unwatched under her watch.
Next episode.
Next up, Peter Walker. There's no stopping this dad bod from showing up to his virtual workout sessions.
Oh, let's go leg day!
And finally, the Walker twins. They may look alike, but couldn't internet more differently. Harry dominates his fellow online gamers while Heather group video chats with friends.
Ooh, nice background filter, Jess.
Live like a gagillionaire. Get internet that upgrades everything. AT&T Fiber, now with speeds up to 5 gigs.
Limited availability in select areas. Speeds not guaranteed. Single device wired speed, max 4.7 gig per second. Visit att.com/hypergig for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this Sunday, February 13th, 2022. And boy, do we have a lot to talk about tonight in this. Now, today, a while back, there was a mystery. I received this nice, beautiful black robe in the mail. And here I wondered, where did this come from? But then I had remembered that a while before that, I had gotten just a letter. And the letter was from a group of pastors that represented themselves as Black Robe Regiment. And that's all they said. They said that they considered me to be a member of the Black Robe Regiment. And they just went by first names, and that was it. Very, not much information, not even a return address. So I thought, well, that's nice anyhow. But and then I got this black robe, and I thought that's where it came from. But then I found out it wasn't at all. It was one of the members of the congregation, one of our veterans and patriots, a fellow named Harry. Harry was the fellow that brought in that black robe. And it was a real mystery until Harry let me know. But anyhow, I wore that black robe today because of the title of the message. The title of the message was "The Black Robed Regiment Marches On." Well, here, as we see, one by one, we're seeing pastors finally awaken. We're seeing more and more pastors awakening. I praise the good Lord for that small minority that are awakening. And that's what we're going to get into tonight as we start here. Now, I'm going to be reading from J.T. Headley's The Chaplains and a Clergy of the Revolution. In 1778, as the clergy performed the most active and important part in the education of the people of New England for the revolution, as well as strength and encouraged them in the darkest hours by patriotic exhortations and promises of final deliverance unto heaven's richest blessings on them and their posterity for their noble endeavors and their heroic sacrifices. So they rejoiced with them in every success and declared it to be the sign of God's blessing and the precursor of a glorious morning at hand. Thus, in 1778, at the turning point of the struggle, directly after Burgoyne's overthrow, and while the land was still rocking to the enthusiastic rejoicings of the people, who believed they saw in it the first gleam of the coming dawn, Pastor Philip Payson of Chelsea, in his sermon before the House of Representatives, gave utterance to the universal feeling he took from his text of Galatians 4, 26 and 27. And that's where we're going to start tonight. We're going to start with Galatians chapter 4. But we're going to go from 21 all the way through 31. Now, Sarah here represents the free woman, and Hagar here represents those that were under the bondage of the law. Hagar hated Sarah and despised her and wanted to take her place and have the rule over her. Likewise, the Judaizers in Paul's day here persecuted the Gentile believers by insisting that they keep the Jews' religion and the keeping of the law. Now, the Judaizers represent the bondwoman, and they wanted to keep the church under their control and regarded the Gentile believers as second-class believers. The British under King George likewise wanted to keep its subjects in America under its heavy thumb. Taxation without representation. The Church of England persecuted the Baptists along with others. But the taste of freedom on the tongues of the patriots was much too sweet to give up. And so let's go here and start in the 21st verse of Galatians 4. Tell me that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and as in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so now, nevertheless, that what saith the scripture, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of freedom, of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not the children of the bondwoman, but of free. Now, we are here in America today. All of this applies just as Hagar despised Sarah and wanted to replace her, wanted to take her place, even though Sarah was her mistress, or not their mistress, her master, if you will. And here, as we saw, in Paul's day, the Judaizers, and by the way, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, the Judaizers wanted to force the Gentile believers, force them into the bondage of the Jewish religion, under the law, telling them that it was more than just faith in Christ. You had to have faith in Christ, and also, at the same time, you had to be in compliance with the law, which is totally contrary to what the Lord Jesus taught. And you can't serve two masters. And so, here, they wanted to keep the church totally under their control, and again, regard the Gentile believers as second-class Christians. And that's kind of what's happening. And again, we see that during the War for Revolution. In the War for the Revolution, we saw that here King George wanted the American patriots to be his subjects. And again, they were to be ruled by a tyrant and treated as second-class citizens. Not because they were not living there in England, but they were, again, regarded as second-class citizens, not quite as good as those that lived there in the British Crown, who were. And so here now, today we've got something very similar to that here in America today, and our brothers up north in Canada. We have the so-called woke movement, and the woke movement is trying to divide. Now, the woke movement is literally made of lesser people, and when I mean lesser people, I'm talking about where it comes to morality and integrity and honor. The woke movement, they have no morality, integrity, or honor. Literally, they'll do anything for power and money. They will prostitute themselves, and we see the woke movement here in China is a very good example of this, how Coca-Cola and others, even though the China is a country that is literally takes Christians and prisoners and uses them to harvest their organs. Human rights violations, tremendous human rights violations. But Coca-Cola and these other companies, they put the almighty dollar before anything. There's a total dearth, no integrity there, no integrity at all. Yeah, Coke went. I quit drinking Coke. I used to like Coca-Cola, but I quit drinking it when they came out and woke. And I guess their Coke sales have fallen way, way off. And they should. Because people, when they came out and they made the statement that we white people here need to be less white. Well, here, I want to go over back to the chaplains and the clergy of the revolution. And on page 15, we read, and this was the appointment of the clergy to the official positions in the Army and Navy under the designation of chaplains. And that was a custom of long, long standing. And at the present day among Christians, Christian nations, well, when this was written, this was true, but not so much now. now in our military has turned against the chaplains. They don't want actual chaplains. They look at real Christians in our military as the enemy. That's right. Our here under this, what has happened to our military, they become totally illegitimate. Not the soldiers. We've got some of the best soldiers in the world. But I'm talking about those at the top, the leadership. They have become totally illegitimate. And here, it would have been natural before Congress, as a mere matter of custom and imitation of the mother country, Britain, to appoint chaplains in the American Army. They did so. The chaplains at the present time form a part of our military organizations. They rank as officers and draw pay like them. Well, they do, but our chaplains today, in our military today, are under a lot of pressure to really not be chaplains at all. The propriety of the custom is recognized by all for the sick and the suffering and the dying and the need of spiritual advisors as much as they do hospitals and surgeons. But I do not design to speak of the office exclusively or those who simply discharge its duties faithfully. A vast number were appointed more for their outside general influence than because they were earnest, self-denying ministers of God. Not that they were greatly esteemed, not that they were not greatly esteemed and valued in this respect, but they were bold and active patriots, besides stirring up rebellion, encouraging the weak and the timid. By their example, as well by their teachings, and inspiring the brave and true with confidence, and by their heroism and lofty trust in the righteousness of the cause, they vindicated. It is with this class of chaplains and clergy that I have chiefly to do. And of course, we're talking about the Black Robe Regiment of the Revolution. A chaplain, when taken prisoner, is usually treated with great courtesy and consideration. But there was a class of clergymen and chaplains in the Revolution whom the British, when they once laid hands on them, treated them with most barbarous severity. This, as we could say, would be exactly what would happen today in America. And we've seen it happening in Canada. During the Jobama regime, again, they will go after pastors, chaplains, are looked upon by the Jobama regime as the enemy, dreading them for their influence they wielded and hating them for the obstinacy, courage, and enthusiasm they infused into the rebels. They violated all the urges of war among civilized nations in order to inflict punishment upon them, suffering for their patriotism as these clergy did, and expecting a halter if the colony should fail in their effort to obtain freedom. They deserve to be remembered with honor and have their names go down to immortality, linked with the most important struggle in the world's history. In the first gathering of the Yeomanry at Lexington and Concord, as well as afterwards in the miscellaneous enthusiastic assembly of the army around Bunker Hill, they bore an important part, not merely as servants of God in the discharge of their official duties, but as patriots, haranguing the soldiers and even leading them into the conflict. The British were aware of the tremendous influence the clergy wielded in the colonies and saw them with alarm that it was thrown on the side of the rebellion. Indeed, they were accused of being at the bottom of it, And in 1774, the governor of Massachusetts refused the request of the assembly to appoint a fast. For he said the request was only to give an opportunity for sedition to flow from the pulpit. Isn't that exactly what they accused the patriots here? And there were many, many pastors out there on January 6th of 21. There were a lot of pastors out there. And isn't that exactly what the Antichrist, what the Joe Obama Antichrist regime, the deep state regime, accused the patriots of on that January 6th? And so, here, the taking away of the civil liberty. Well, let me go back. For he said the request was only to give an opportunity for sedition to flow from the pulpit. The taking away of civil liberty, wrote the ministers of Connecticut to their brethren of Boston, will involve the ruin of religious liberty. Bear your heavy load with Christian fortitude and resolution. The answer came back, while we complain to heaven and earth of the cruel oppression we are under, we ascribe righteousness to God. The surprising union of the colonies, afterwards, encouragement. It is an inexhaustible source of comfort that the Lord omnipotent reigneth. As before hostilities commenced, there was scarcely a military muster at which they were not present, exhorting the militia to stand up manfully for the cause of God. On some occasions saying, "Behold, God himself is with us," for our captain and his priest was sounding trumpets to carry the alarm. It was to be expected when war usually broke out, they would be found in the ranks of the rebels, urging forward what they had so long proclaimed as a religious duty. The first outbreak at Lexington and Concord gave them no opportunity to exhibit their zeal officially, and so some shouldered their muskets and fought like common soldiers. Among these were Thaxter of the Westford and Foster, who showed that they could fight as well as pray. There, too, was the amiable and learned Payson of Chelsea. He was so adverse to bloodshed and all the horrors of war that he had felt in his duty to preach patience and even submission. His bolder and more resolute brother near him took such umbrage at this that they refused to let him preach in their pulpits. They wanted no conciliatory doctrines taught to their people. The brutal outrage at Lexington transformed this peaceful scholar and meek divine into a fiery and intrepid soldier, and seizing a musket, he put himself at the head of the party and led them forward to the attack. The gentle voice that had so long spoken only of words of peace suddenly rung like that of a prophet of old. The body of British soldiers advancing along the road, he poured into them with such a destructive volley that the whole were slain or taken prisoner. He was a man of peace and conciliation, but the first citizen's blood that crimsoned the green sword made a clean sweep of all his arguments and objections, and he entered with his whole soul into the struggle. At a later day, when Washington assumed command of the army at Cambridge, he found chaplains attached to the different regiments sent from the various colonies, some of them volunteers without pay, others regularly appointed by the provincial Congress. As the organization of the army was perfected, measures were adopted for their provision by the General Congress, and their number and the regiments to which they belonged formed a part of the regular army returns of Washington. At first, they were not numerous, as the government had taken no action on the subject, but Its attention was soon called to it, and on May 25, 1775, we find a committee of the Provincial Congress of Massachusetts reporting, whereas it has been represented to this Congress that several ministers of the religious assembly within this colony have expressed their willingness to attend the army in the capacity of chaplains, as they may be directed by the Congress, therefore, resolved that it be, and is hereby recommended to the ministers of the several religious assemblies within the colony, that they leave of their congregations and attend said army in their several towns to the number of 13 at one time. During the time, the army should be encamped, and they that make known their resolution to the Congress therein, or to the Committee of Safety, as soon as it may be. Now, in the very beginning, folks, when Washington first assembled his army, he had a total of 500 men. And with 500 men, George Washington was about to take on the British 50,000-man army. Now, let me tell you something here. Washington knew something. He knew this, that God was on the side of freedom. God was on the side of freedom. And God is a majority of one. Now, just as the clergy of the Revolution were feared and hated by the tyrants, today, this very day, and we've seen what just recently happened there in Canada, the true men of God, and the true men of God today in the pulpits and the chaplains are a real minority among the majority of, well, you have a majority of get along, go along, tuck tail and compromise, prissy preachers, and real pastors today, and real chaplains, real clergy. They are hated and they are feared by the tyrants of today. We the people of this United States of America and our neighbors to the north in Canada will never, never bow down to the tyranny of the Antichrist, deathocratic, communist oppressors. We will never, ever accept baby killing because it's legal. Oh yeah, today you have these worthless, and I mean absolutely totally worthless preachers that tell you, well, you know, it's the law, and you have to obey the law. And the reason they say that is they don't have the courage and the honor and the decency and the integrity to stand up like men and obey God. No, the easiest way right now is just to kind of go along, keep your head down, and make sure that your 501c3 is not taken away. Stay as comfortable as you possibly can. Don't do anything to offend the offering plate. Unfortunately, that's what you have by these milquetoast, spineless preachers out there today. And, you know, while I'm at it, well, I'm going to go ahead and read a little bit more of this, and then I'm going to comment. We will never, never, never accept the killing of the elderly in nursing homes so that crooked judges, corrupted prosecutors, and nursing home operators can steal their estates. And that is happening so often today in America. It's a national crime, a disgrace. How many elderly people are losing their properties? And it seems like there's a tendency that once the nursing home has the elderly to sign over their property, then the elderly suddenly end up sick and dead. But we will never accept the genocide of America at the hands of a completely corrupt government run by mad, fiendish, well, so-called scientists and corrupt politicians and big pharma. Those of us who truly trust in God and what He has given us for our healing, the herbs, the natural herbs of the apothecary, we will never trust the sorcery and wizardry of big pharma and their cauldrons. We will never, ever surrender to their depopulation genocide by bioweapon. And let me just say this, folks. God has given us, listen, now I want you to just think about that. God has given us the natural herbs. God says, here, this is what you have. This is what I have given you for the healing of the nation. But big pharma. And by the way, again, the apothecary the Bible speaks of is where God's medicine is made out of natural herbs. But pharmakia is where we get the word pharmacy. Literally means wizardry or witchcraft. And so most people today are going there and they're not getting medicine that will cure anything. Well, folks, all it does when they say they're going to treat the disease, and more people are dying all over this country. Over 250,000 a year die from prescription drugs alone. Add that to fentanyl. Add that to fentanyl. And people are dying left and right, but they're not smart. People aren't smart. They continue to go back to big pharma. They continue to go to these pill pushers, these pill peddlers, instead of using what God has given them. Smart people will go the natural way. Speaking of that, Wendy Wilson in the Apothecary Herbs is having a sale right now all the way through Wednesday. And folks, what you really need to do is stock up on natural medicine. Stock up on natural. Wendy's got some of the best medicine, natural medicine. Now, remember when I was telling you this cough? I had this cough. Many of you have been listening to me for a long time. No, for about 6 weeks, I had this constant cough. And I was positive it had to do with what they were using to clean the headsets and in the studio. And I still think that has a lot to do with it. But Wendy said, what you've got is a COVID cough. She diagnosed it very well for me. And she said, I'm going to make you up some medicine here. I tease her and call it a potion. And she said, within 10 days to 2 weeks, it will do away. The cough will be gone. Well, she was exactly right. On the 14th day, the cough was gone. And so I've been using her natural herbs for a long time. And I'll just give you the phone number. That's all I'm going to do. Her number is 866-229-3663. And, I know right now a lot of people are saying, gee, I didn't have a pen. I wish I had a pen. Go get your pen and paper. Okay. And also, you can go up on the internet to thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. But her phone number is 866-229-3663. I would call and say, send me your catalog. You really want this catalog, folks. You really do. Well, here, as we continue, we will not accept the blue step of the fake news media. And you say, well, what's the blue step? It's what they call the blue step is when they are told, here is your narrative. And that word narrative really means lie. I'm talking about NBC, ABC, CBS, and you know what? One half of Fox News is in on that too, folks. And here, when they tell you, it's called the blue step. They're a part of that. And I've told you before, these people are literally contracted liars. They're contracted liars. And what happens is they're told, when you sign that contract, that you are going to put forth whatever the narrative. Now, that's what they call for a lie. Whatever the narrative, they don't use the word lie. They use the word narrative. Whatever lie we tell you to tell, you're going to tell that lie. And if you don't tell that lie, then you're fired. Now, those that couldn't take it anymore, we're fired. Now, this is where we call the echo chamber. And you see this, how they repeat exactly the same words. And if you remember, after they stole the election, and they stole the election, there was election fraud like we've never had, just as we warned you there would be. And anyone and everyone that says there's nuts a liar and there's no truth in them, and I challenge any of them to come on my program, but they won't. They won't. And debate me on it. And the reason is simply they know that they're lying. The evidence of the, you know, the evidence of election fraud, it was everywhere out there. And so here, we will never, never accept the echo chamber. We will never accept the child abuse of the woke PC public fool system. I can tell you this. People are telling me, that how here they're complaining, and I was just listening to some mothers, and the mothers were really upset, complaining that their children had to wear masks in the school. Look. If you love your children, get them out of there. You shouldn't put them in the public school system. Why in the world are you putting them there where they're abusing your children? You say, well, I can't afford. You can't afford not to. Listen, you can't afford not to. You're better to keep them home altogether. They indoctrinate them with cultural Marxism. They tell them, number one, They turn them against you. They're told in the public school system, if you're a little white child, you should be ashamed of the fact that you're white. They make them put on these face diapers and hear they're these germ-filled, unsanitary face hiders. So many young, way more children committed suicide, died of suicide than ever died of the COVID. And you have your children in the public school system. Get them out of there now. As quickly as you can. Don't let them destroy your child. We will not allow our children to be indoctrinated by pedophiles into accepting sodomy and transgender filth. No, we will not. We will not allow our children to be indoctrinated by pedophiles into accepting sodomy and transgender filth, and that's just what it is. We will not accept the killing of our young military under the guise of legitimate vaccinations. These are not legitimate vaccinations. Again, China boasts how it is killing American soldiers without firing a shot. Folks, they're dying, these athletes and soldiers, they're dying, many are dying from these bioweapons that they call vaccines. And now they want to give them to 6-month-old babies. They want to kill off the children. And we've played you that clip time and time again. We've played it here on this program where the head of the World Health Organization, he comes out and he's chastising the different nations for using the bioweapon on children. And he's saying, don't kill the children. Don't kill the children. Kill this old, the elderly and the sick. Kill the elderly and the sick. Don't kill the children. What is it? It's telling you something. We will not accept the killing of our police officers just to satisfy the lust of the Antichrist Deathocrats. Folks, it's open season on police officers out there. Why? Well, remember, Joe Obama, when he said, well, I wasn't for defunding the police. He lied. He lied through his teeth because I remember hearing him saying, what we're going to do is take a good portion of that money, instead of being used as police work, we're going to take from the police budget and give to socialist workers. Folks, that's called defunding the police. The police are told to stand down. The police are told to go out and protect the lives and property of those very antichrist communists that hate them and hate law and order. And yet they go out and they risk their lives to protect those very ones. We will never, no, not ever, surrender our firearms or our Second Amendment rights. Right here in Ohio, there are two bills right now in the House and Senate that would give us, they've been passed through the committee. If we could only get them to the floor for a vote, and it's the rhinos that are holding them up. But those would give us constitutional carry. See, that's what we have. We have the Constitution. One day I had two judges over here at my house, and we were sitting there in the kitchen, and we were talking. And I noticed both these fellows were carrying. And I said, hey, you got the concealed carry. And they said, no. I said, you don't? They said, no. And I says, well, then why is it that I have to have if I'm going to carry that concealed? They said, we have the Constitution. I said, well, don't I have a Constitution? They said, you're not a judge. In other words, the idea was if they were to get stopped by police, they would tell them, look, here's the law. And they would be right. Because the Constitution gives us the right. It doesn't say that we have to go and register and tell the people we have a firearm so that if the Communist Party, if the Antichrist Communist Party were to completely seize power, that they could come and say, you were registered, that you have a firearm, you've got to turn it in. We don't want you to have the ability to protect yourself against this corrupt government. The Founding Fathers knew that. As Jefferson said, when people fear the government, you have tyranny. When the government fears the people, you have liberty. We will never, no, we will never, ever accept critical race theory or the cancel culture. We will not be silenced or give up our First Amendment rights to Joe Obama or any other aspiring dictator. And by the way, folks, in the election fraud, the very same people involved in the massive, massive election fraud in this country were also involved in the election fraud in Canada. That's right. Trudeau is no more legitimate president than Joe Obama is here in America. And you know, when we were talking about the narrative, again, I remember not only when the echo chamber went into effect, and I remember watching here. Bret Baier. It started out with little Chrissy Wallace. And when they talked about election fraud, he went, like that. He did that. And then he says, there's no evidence. But then as we took a look at, we saw all the way down the line, Smith, and I guess her name's not Susan, it's something else Smith, but I remember she did exactly the same thing. She did, you know, that was a part of the lie to do that. I mean, it was just so rehearsed. No, there's no evidence. Bret Baier, there's no evidence. Neil Cabuto, there's no evidence. Now, that's the Fox News. Now, you expected, we saw all of that, okay, with Mad Cow and the others over there at PMS, NBC, and CNN, and ABC, and you expected that. A dog returns to its vomit and a sow to her mire. But at Fox News, they said, no. No, we're not that way. You see, over here, we're not partial. We're impartial. But they're not. You had one half of them looked you, and they did exactly, they told the big lie. Now, you all know that. And it's time that you all let them know that you know that. We Americans will die on our feet before we will live on our knees. We will die on our feet before we live on our knees. Freedom. Folks, what good is liberty if you can't be, well, what good is life, I should say. What good is life without liberty? And so, I want to go over to Romans chapter 8 here. And in Romans chapter 8, we read this, starting with verse 35 through all the way through verse 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors, more than conquerors, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of Christ, which is in Christ Jesus. And here, folks, you have to see that Paul goes to, first of all, he says we're more than conquerors. You have to understand, God is a majority of one. God is a majority of one. He's never lost a battle. God has never lost a battle. And in fact, over 6,000 years of history, we find out that God has a perfect record of always saying what he means, meaning what he says, doing what he says he'll do, exactly when, exactly where, exactly how, without exception. Without exception. But the vast majority of people out there are clueless because they're biblically illiterate and they don't understand that this Bible, this King James Bible, is the greatest history book that's ever been written. It's the only book, the only source of absolute truth and absolute authority. They were amazed at the Lord Jesus when they said, when he speaks with authority. Well, he can do that. Like he said, heaven and earth will pass, but his words will never, no, not ever, ever pass away. And here now the Apostle Paul says, look here, we're more than conquerors through him. And Paul says this, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Do you understand what he's saying? He's taken you to the very realm of death. Nothing in all of death can separate us from the love of God, meaning take away our salvation. Meaning take away our salvation. Then he takes you to the very realm of life itself. And he tells you out there, in all of life out there, there's nothing out there, nothing that can separate us from the love of God, that could cause us to lose our salvation. And then he says, nor angels, there's nothing out there, even the power of the angels, and the angels are powerful beings, but they cannot, the angels have no power to take away our salvation, nor principalities, nor powers. And so what's he talking about? He's talking about those to be. You know, it's an interesting thing. That word principalities usually means on the local level, magistrates. Magistrates, he's talking about maybe your local judge, your local prosecutor, county commissioner. And then he's talking about powers. Those are higher levels. That could be state or national. But there's none of them that in any way, shape, or form have the ability to take away our salvation. Meaning this, that it's going to end well. It's going to end well for all of those that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. It will end well for them. But not so well for the opposition. And then he says here, nor things present, nor things to come. In other words, there's nothing out there in the past. There's nothing in the present, or things in the future. Nothing in all. He takes you to the very realm, past, present, and future. And there's nothing out there at all that can take away your salvation. Now, you see, this is what he's talking about being more than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. You see, even conquerors, even great kings that win wars could lose the next war. But we can't. When this war is over, we've won forever. We can never lose another war. We can never lose another battle. It won't happen, see. God has said that. He goes on to say, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, I'll tell you what, that's good enough for me. And I want to go over now to 1 John chapter 5. And in 1 John chapter 5, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm just about ready to run out of voice for tonight. But in 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5, we read this. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. And so here, Jesus never promised that obeying him would be easy. Not at all. No, in fact, he told us just the opposite, didn't he? Hard work, however, can be rewarding if we continue to value its results. Here, when we take a look at that, when it says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Folks, there's no stuttering. There's no stuttering there. Now, throughout over 6,000 years of recorded history, tells us that God, again, has always done exactly what he says. And has always said exactly what he means, and always means exactly what he says. There is no reason, folks, not a bit of reason at all, to think that that's ever going to change. Again, and I wanted to say, for those that put your trust and their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this whole thing, and I know we're living in times today, tumultuous times, and where people are, there's a lot of people worried, and we're entering into a new age of these biometrics. There's some insane things happening out there today with our corrupted government. The militaries around the world are crossing bounds, and they're working on things that they should never work on by gene splicing and using the DNA and genes of animals and humans and trying to produce. By the way, with this whole thing that they're doing now, because of the NRMA bioweapon that changes the molecular structure of the human body, that changes the DNA. Now they're saying, well, since that has happened, those that have taken the poisonous poke have had their DNA changed, then they're no longer human. Therefore, should they be considered the property of those that hold the patents? I'm not kidding you. This is actually being discussed right now. This is how strange it has become and where we're at today in this country. But the good news, folks, listen, the good news is this is another sign of the imminent return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Another sign that return has to be getting close, because the last time anything like this was done that could be compared to was back in the days of Noah and the flood. And folks, again, like I said, this, I believe, is a signal of a very soon imminent return of the Lord Jesus, because they have crossed the bounds that God has set for them. And now God has kept mankind for himself as his dominion. And now they've transgressed that in a huge, huge way. But anyhow, the good news is it finishes well for those that have put their trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It finishes with them with eternal life. With those that have not. Those that have not. And if you're out there listening to me tonight, I'm going to tell you, the Lord will give you so many opportunities. And if you've heard the gospel preached and you've heard the invitation and you've turned it down, even this very night, all over this world, there are going to be millions. I mean, many, many people are going to run out of tomorrows. And I'm hoping you're not one of them. If you're listening to me out there, I'm hoping you're not. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 3. He says, pray to the Father, ask for forgiveness of your sin. Ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life, without any reservations. And if you'll do that, then you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, and dwelt with the Holy Spirit. You have God's word on that. You have God's word on that. If you haven't done that, right now, if you're listening to me and you have not made that commitment, well, you're like walking on a tightrope over a burning lake of fire. It could, if it breaks tonight, at any time, people are dropping dead all over the world from the poisonous poke. I mean, just dropping dead. Without ever a chance to repent, call upon the name of the Lord, and ask for forgiveness. They're dying so quickly. Well, we're out of time for tonight. And so, and to all of you out there, I want to say, as we do at this time, good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.